KROC AM, Rochester's Good Morning. Rich Peterson here, along with Steve Borkart. Time to talk about the Rochester Area Foundation, and specifically this time we're going to talk about some housing, workforce housing. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Rich Peterson. It's a great day filled with opportunities to do good works.
That's right. I'm looking
out your window here, and I see Christ United Methodist Church over there, and that is sunshine shining on the east wall of that church.
That is a blue sky.
Doesn't that look nice?
Mostly clouds today, so enjoy the sun while it's here.
Is this going to be our January thaw?
It is.
I hope so.
For the rest of the month,
I am ready. For some reason, I never got mentally ready for winter this year.
You know, the older I get, the less I get mentally ready for winter every year. But, you know, you put up with it. And
maybe if there's a little bit more snow and we could have been out cross-country skiing a couple of times. But I'm hoping with the weather a little warmer this weekend, if it doesn't melt too much, maybe we can get out there. Enjoy it.
What I need is a snowblower that works.
So the rest of the time, if it stays too cold, we'll be in the house. And so that's what we're going to talk about, housing for more folks.
Yeah, we've talked about housing in a study that was done in the last year.
Indeed. Of course, Rochester.
And you know, and we used to call it affordable housing, but now it's workforce housing.
Well, that whole term affordable housing leaves people confused. You get a lot of questions about what's affordable,
right,
and what group are you talking about? Affordable for who and how?
I can't afford
and
it.
So we've kind of further refined it. It's become more popular to refer it to workforce-priced housing. And what's workforce-priced? The folks that provide necessary services in the community that get paid up to $20-$22 bucks an hour. Because even if your household income is in that neighborhood, maybe husband and wife between the two of them are just out of college, college loans, 3-4 years out. But due to the economy and the recession and the pricing of those kinds of jobs, they're both sitting there at $11 or $12 bucks an hour and kind of stagnant in that situation. Well, that ends up about $22-$23 bucks an hour of family income. That'll get you a mortgage somewhere in the $140,000 neighborhood if you go out pretty close to the end of your money, mortgage yourself to the hilt. That's never a good idea, particularly when you're young. But with that kind of money, what can you buy? Well, you can maybe buy something for $150,000, $155,000 if you've got some down payment saved. But if you don't, because you came right out of school and you went right to work in your wage-earning job and you have school loans.
Right, you got school loans. You've probably got a car loan.
You got to drive something, and particularly if you're going to work, and you might have a baby, which could certainly impact income.
So now you go from $150,000 home to...
Precisely. And what's it cost to build? What we always classically thought about is a starter home in Rochester, Minnesota. I mean, you think of all the homes out there, Elton Hills and out southeast that were built in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And I recall when I first, Cindy and I, my first wife, bought our first home in 1976, we could have bought a 3-bedroom Rambler out there by Ben Franklin School for about $32,000. So what's that kind of house, starter house, cost us now? A split, the basics, you know, 950 square feet per floor, maybe a garage, hard surface driveway, and somewhere in the neighborhood of $170,000-$175,000. And if you qualify for a mortgage of $145,000, you're not going to get one of those.
Yeah.
Now, folks may see, well, there's plenty of older homes in the community. There's homes that are priced in that $130,000 to $140,000 price bracket, and there are. But, of course, there's people living in them, so they need to be in a position to be able to move up to vacate those houses and make them available. And if you're mortgaging yourself out to the end of your money, in order to get into one of those that are 20, 40, 60, 80 years old, they need some work. They invariably are going to need some carpet. The air conditioner goes to pot, maybe some landscaping, maybe a tree needs to be taken down. And you're mortgaged out to the end of your income just to pay for the house. You don't have any money left over to maintain the property. And as any homeowner knows, buying a house is a lot more expense than simply paying for the mortgage and the insurance and the property taxes.
Right. Well, you know, the study, I'm sure, also looked into the fact that the baby boomers, there's a large group of people around here that are eventually not going to move up into another house. They're going to move over into maybe a senior community or something like that. A lot more homes are going to become available in the next 10, 15 years, probably in the next 5 years.
That's what we need to worry about right here is the next 5 years.
So there's
a
lot of opportunities there.
There will be opportunities there. And one of the things to study, and just to review that quickly, because as I often do, I got off on a tangent. But we commissioned the study, Rochester Area Foundation, because of our rich history in providing workforce-priced housing through the First Homes Program. Collaborating with Mayo and the County of Olmsted, commissioned this study by the Maxfield Research Group that was made public last May. And they identified several trends, actually. The one trend that was market rate sales of homes and market rate rental properties, they said, are pretty much going to take care of themselves, that there was sufficient producers of that kind of housing in the community to meet the demand.
Mm-hmm.
Where the demand outstripped our ability to produce the inventory was in the area of workforce-priced housing and workforce-priced rental units. And the emerging trend that hadn't been a part of the situation in 2000 when First Homes was first formed, First Homes first formed, try that one quick.
Yeah.
The emerging trend is exactly what you just identified. Seniors coming out of their homes that they've mostly paid for, and we're talking baby boomers, they're 65 to 75 now, coming out of their homes in the next 10 years or so, looking for the congregate living circumstances, and many of them aren't going to be able to afford to pay the market rate that is going on in the community right now. But you look at what's coming up in the community, a lot of stuff is being built. But what's it going to cost a month? Mm-hmm. And if you have folks that have been paying $700, $800, $900 a month for their mortgage, and maybe they've been mortgage free for 10 or 12 years, and now they're suddenly looking at a situation where they're going to be $1,500, $2,000 a month, so there is a workforce priced issue for seniors or about to be seniors, mm-hmm. that are going to be needing housing also. So we have several challenges to meet in the community.
And the Rochester Area Foundation is going to help by
first of all, by taking first-time buyers?
Or
two different ways.
Okay.
First of all, through the First Homes Program, which has been maintaining its community land trust program for the last 4 or 5 years and pretty much on maintenance level. There hasn't been new growth. When First Homes was first formed and the staff they put together to do that at Rochester Area Foundation accomplished great things, did very good work, built over or facilitated the building of over 1,000 living units over the course of the next 8 to 10 years. And then, of course, we hit the recession, changes came about, and the program has pretty much just been treading water, continuing to operate. We've continued to rehab a few houses along the way, mm-hmm. continued to buy and sell homes out of the community land trust. We still have full-time staff supporting the program, but it hasn't been in a position to accomplish any new mission. So as part of what's happening right now, to bring you quickly up to date, Rochester Area Foundation is in the leadership group that is creating a plan for how to meet the demand that was identified by the Maxfield Research Study last year. That plan is being written for us by the Greater Minnesota Housing Fund folks. They have loaned us staff and expertise because they do this type of thing all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we have put together a steering committee of interested folks in the community and folks that have experience in providing this kind of housing to kind of steer them as they write the plan. And the plan will be how many housing units do we need in rental and how can we help developers produce that in a way that private sector developers can provide what we need to have and provide where we need it, configure it in a way that they can make some money and is still affordable for the folks that need to buy it. And we have some providers, developers, who are very in tune with that and want to be able to provide that service. And in the for sale home area, same situation. How can we facilitate that? And so right now we're at that portion of writing the plan where we're figuring out how to capitalize it. Because
mm-hmm.
this is going to take some philanthropic dollars. This is going to take some donations. This may take some additional resources from government. We're not quite sure how it's all going to come together yet, but that's the point at which we're at. And the plan should be ready for prime time by the end of Q1 this year. So by the end of March, we should be able to, hopefully in February, we're
yeah.
showing it to the city council and the county board and bringing it to the community in March, saying, okay, here's a plan. Here's how we can build these units that the study says we need to provide in this community in the next 5 to 15 years
yeah.
to meet the demand.
Quite a crossroads this area is in, not just in Rochester, but in the area with DMC and the hopes for DMC.
Indeed.
And certainly it's happening, but you know, there's and with the baby boomers moving around and moving out to their different style of house. So, yeah, there's a lot happening here, and a lot more workers coming into town too that are going to be looking for places to live.
It becomes a fundamental question for us about what kind of community do we want to have. Mm-hmm. We are all familiar with places in the nation where folks can't afford to live where they work. They work in the service industry. They're providing necessary services. They're child care services. It's not just the folks that wait our tables and change the bed sheets on our hotels, which is very, very important work in this community, but it's also the folks that fix our cars and at the entry levels of teaching in our schools and teaching in our preschools and work at retail clerk kinds of jobs. We need lots and lots of people providing those services. Those are essential services. So if our community is so expensive that they can't live here, where are they going to live? Well, they can live out 20, 30, 40 miles. But then transportation becomes a part of their daily expense when they have to commute that far, and they're only making 12, 14, 15, 16 bucks an hour.
Well, we can only hope the gas prices stay low for a while, and that commute is a little bit cheaper. How can people get involved or become, who is eligible for applying through the Rochester Area Foundation, or how will that work?
Through the First Homes Program, we deal mostly with people that make 80% or less of the average monthly income, average monthly gross income in the, or average annual gross income in the Olmsted County area is about $63,000. So if you are 80% of that or less, you're going to qualify for our program. And you can check with us. We have 209 properties in the Community Land Trust, where the Community Land Trust owns the property and the folks buy and sell, obtain mortgages for the whole thing, the homes that sit on that property. But because the ownership of the property is held by this fund, as it were, it kind of protects the perpetual affordability of that particular parcel. We also will have gap loans available again, not right at this moment, but within the next month or two. And gap loans can help with a down payment. And that's not a giveaway, folks. Yeah. This is something where you have to have good credit. You have to have the ability to earn enough to pay it back. But the gap loan is a low interest loan that rides on the equity, and you don't have to pay it immediately. So there's a variety of tools that are available. In addition, on the rental side, some things are going to start happening in the very near future. So the best thing folks can do right now, if they have an interest in this, go to our website, check out what's on the First Homes website. But then number two, just pay attention when you see these articles in the paper. Pay attention to the decisions that are being made. There's going to be a role for everyone in the community here. The city council is going to have a role relative to fees and zoning issues that could facilitate this whole area of building. The county has a role in this. Certainly employers have a role in this, and the business community has an important role in it. We all have a stake in it if we want this to be a community with safe neighborhoods where transportation isn't consuming a majority of our income, and where people that provide our necessary services on an everyday basis can live in the community that they work in.
So can you get through to the First Homes website through the Rochester Area Foundation website?
You can indeed. Rochesterarea.org.
Okay.
Yep. And
excellent.
You can find First Homes there.
And we'll probably talk more about it next month.
You're going to be hearing a lot. As this gets rolled out in the next 2 months, it will be a news item, and you'll be able to read about it, hear about it. If you have questions, call me at the foundation and be happy to talk about it.
Excellent. Steve Borkart, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
Steve Borkart with the Rochester Area Foundation. Again, the website is rochesteraria.org.